Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the final hour of the program. Great to have you with us. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. 1-800-636-8686. We took a couple calls in the last hour. That might have been a bad content decision by yours truly, but my goal every time I'm lucky enough to be in for the Hall of Famer on a show I admire, and I know now the tweets come, it's Weber sucking up once more. But hopefully it's clear how much it means to me to be here. I don't do sincerity well. That's why I pause and try to think about how should I say this and try to come across as a relatable human being. But I listen to the show every day. I watch the show every day. I've been listening for 25 years. So to be here, to interact with you, and hopefully by now you realize I don't have much of a life when I'm not here or working at my other job. So I'm cool with having a conversation on social media, as long as it doesn't get too chippy. B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's. If Rit can wheel his way to the printer, we might have more tweets in this segment. But if you're going to try to get in with a phone call, you have a 40-minute window. Still, you can't bash me too hard. I didn't come with 19 guests and just put up my feet and say, tell me about the outlook for LeBron James. We had a good baseball conversation with Joe Sheehan from RotoWire and the Joe Sheehan baseball newsletter. In 40 minutes, we take you around the NBA with my buddy Steve Kyler from BasketballInsiders.com. And this last hour is going to be NBA heavy because it deserves to be. We talked Aaron Rodgers, just a smidge of whatever happened to Russell Wilson wanting to leave Seattle. But the calendar dictates where we are in the sports cycle. And even though it's May, and traditionally we'd be knee-deep in the NBA playoffs, the spectacle that is 40 games and 40 nights traditionally, well, given what's occurred over the last 14 months, I don't need to tell you, it's a different world and a different sports landscape as well. So, the NBA, I think, had no downside in trying to come up with a novel approach with the gimmick of, thank you, Garrett, the play-in tournament, quote-unquote, and the play-in games. Although it's being advertised because everything can be sold in an increasingly robust economy as the play-in tournament. And the Lakers, despite playing well last night, however, you could argue that game said as much about Phoenix as it did about the heroics of Anthony Davis, who came alive for the second consecutive game. Still no LeBron, because he's going to come back when he wants to. No surprise. I'm still not fully of a mindset to understand why Frank Vogel said a few days ago, LeBron isn't playing because he's not available, but it's not injury-related. He wasn't at shoot-around. He's not here. That's all I can tell you. And I think that's a real abdication by the NBA media. And I understand it's very hard now in the Zoom era because you can always do the, I can't hear you. I've lost you on Skype. It's not the same as having a group media session. But with or without LeBron, the Lakers had a vast departure last night because they had absolutely no momentum, if you believe that exists. And since we're talking much more data-driven analysis, the numbers, folks, will tell you, momentum is not a thing. Each game is its own sample size. Still, Lakers, as of late, have been playing abysmal basketball. They dropped 8 of 10. The standings tell you that Phoenix is having a marvelous regular season, and this potentially a playoff preview, even if the Lakers have to go through the play-in gimmick as the 7 seed, 2-7 coming up in the postseason. Phoenix, to me, is nothing more than a regular season story. Yes, they're going to have issues with the matchup against Anthony Davis, as most teams are going to when he is as dialed in as he was last night. 42-12-5, building on what he did the game before. Who do you think for Phoenix is going to match up with AD? You're going to go with DeAndre Ayton? And do me a favor, if you're going to say his name, there's a T in there. You don't have to be as effective as I am and affected, because I'm very effective as a guest host. But I'm hearing so much DeAndre, You know, just say, Aiden, help me out a little bit. That's my beef. I don't have to tweet, Rit. You don't have to work even less if possible on Wednesday. The Suns are a nice story. I think a byproduct of a weird, funky, COVID-scheduled season. And I'm not going to take anything away from Chris Paul. If I was fully engaged in a passionate discussion about who is the MVP, I think the numbers say it's clearly Jokic. But if you want to go back to that old, great sports parlance, remember, it's valuable player, not outstanding player, unless we're talking about the Final Four or the best player at the Women's College World Series. What's the definition of value? Well, where were the Suns last year prior to the arrival of Chris Paul? Fun story. Booker was out of his mind in the bubble, but the record indicates a remarkable transformation, and you got to give Chris Paul a huge chunk of props for what this team has done in the regular season. But when you get to the playoffs, we can analyze it on a variety of levels. We can start with Chris Paul's personal history, and it's not necessarily fair, but when are we ever fair in sports talk radio? You know what I'm going to say with Chris Paul. How many trips has he made to the NBA Finals? Let me do the math. Hey, Jerry Jones, what channel is that Canelo Alvarez fight on? I want to check out the replay. Where can I get that?
DA Zone.
Okay. Thank you very much. Chris Paul has had enough playoff failure that if he's able to break through finally this year, it'll be the only thing missing on his Hall of Fame resume. But we know in the NBA, when you get to the second season, in addition to their issues last night, you need at least 2.5 superstars. Put it that way. And we'll connect that to what's going on in Milwaukee and the Greek Freak. And I don't think we're talking enough about the Bucks. We'll get there in roughly 15 minutes. We'll talk about the East coming up as I want to make it West focused here. Chris Paul has been a leader on and off the court. He's been heavily active in the Players Association. Now, I don't think he's beloved by a lot of the folks around the association because of his knack for dirty play, but he certainly has maximized everything that he had coming out of Wake Forest. Still, you're evaluated in professional sports by your championship resume, and that is a glaring omission in the resume. You could just cut the resume in half and say it doesn't exist. And who is he going to rely on beyond Booker when the Suns are in the 2 seed, looking to flame out potentially against the Lakers? You're going with Bridges, not Fridges. I like that bit a couple weeks ago. The great Mikal Bridges. Jay Crowder doing anything for you? So if you've not been paying attention to the Suns, I don't blame you. Because I also know the audience is never wrong. There's a vast portion of you out there
Bridges!
Who ignores the majority of the regular season, especially this year. And the ratings indicate that maybe that number's gotten bigger, but you parachute in come playoff time because you want to see the biggest names in all of sports, candidly. The NBA connects with a younger demographic because the players are approachable, because they are their own corporations, because of the fashion, because of the social media connectivity. And the Lakers are rock stars, but even the Rolling Stones are hanging on at the end. And I don't know where LeBron, in comparison to Mick Jagger, I should have mapped this out before I started talking, is precisely, because we know he's on the other side of the top of the mountain. And the legacy is secure, and I'm not desperate enough to do Jordan versus LeBron today. I got a lot of content we didn't have a chance to get to because I made the error in judgment of taking those phone calls. But for LeBron, I think this season is gravy. It's a wash. He got the ring last year. He knows that where he is at right now is basically immaterial because he's played all of these minutes and all of these postseason games. So if he wants to linger on the bench when he shows up or not come in at all, he's earned that right. And who's going to tell him otherwise in a Laker organization in which he's the de facto GM? And yes, we gave Rob Pelinka so much credit for assembling this team. Lakers clearly still have a lot of flaws because who is the third option? And especially when we're talking about now the extended window of the postseason, Do you think LeBron is going to play every game in the playoffs? I can't say that with certainty because now he's finally mortal and breaking down with a little bit more frequency. And high ankle sprains, although he looked pretty limber on the sideline having a good time last night. I didn't see the red wine. Wasn't a red wine Sunday necessarily. But who's to say now having to play the play-in game at a minimum, in addition to series after series, that LeBron is going to emerge unscathed, and that's the same flaw that the Lakers have to contend with when it comes to Anthony Davis. It's the wrong day for me to come in and say Anthony Davis has some obvious weaknesses in his games when he was unbelievable last night, but the issue is availability. All the injuries in New Orleans, the Achilles issue this year, the back spasms at the end of last week, and we're talking about when you get into the postseason, limited margin for error, and if one of the big two can't go, who's going to make those critical shots for the Lakers? Is it going to be Alex Caruso again? Okay, you can ride with that. Get out your Laker pom-poms and feel good about those possibilities for the purple and gold. You could tell me it's Kyle Kuzma. Well, he was out last night with a back injury, and I think we know where Kuzma is. We have enough of a run into his career trajectory to say he's on that tier of very good player, but not outstanding player. But then the balancing act comes down to, okay, if you want to knock the Lakers, somebody has to come out of the West. Who are you riding with? Utah, phenomenal regular season story. Got to tell me more about where Donovan Mitchell is with the ankle injury. Where is Utah going to be in terms of COVID protocols? Is that place going to be a cauldron? Are we going to have the normal crowds step by step in the postseason? Because typically when you play in Salt Lake City, and we could talk about the altitude, but I'm not getting that nerdy, it is a very intense place for the opposition to go. I've already told you that I think Phoenix is one and done. If the seedings hold up and there's still some wiggle room for these teams, with the Lakers having four more coming up to cap the regular season before the play-in event tomorrow against the Knicks, we could see LeBron as quickly in that game. Probably makes more sense to have him out there Wednesday against the horrendous Rockets, and then they wrap it up at Indy and New Orleans, winnable games. Still, they need to keep on winning because currently they're behind the Mavs and the Blazers in this jumbled mix. So if you want to say it's a clown show, bro, that the NBA is blowing up the format to go with the play-in thing, and this feels like some kind of European soccer tournament, all right, I got a strong counter. We're talking about meaningful games in the last week of the regular season involving teams you know, and because I'm trying to divide the East and the West, I haven't even talked about the marquee franchises and the big names potentially we could see in the play-in gimmick in the East. Celtics are imploding before our very eyes. You think Brad Stevens might be thinking twice about maybe going and getting that Indiana job and going back to college? I know he's making great scratch in the NBA, but Celtics seem dysfunctional, plus all the injuries have slowed him down. LaMelo Ball going to have a chance with a national stage. Oh, by the way, Russell Westbrook is now tied with the Big O for the most triple-doubles in NBA history. All these names thrown into a gumbo, and we're going to decide who's moving on. And one of those matchups could be Steph Curry and the Warriors against the Lakers. Single elimination for one team. Sign me up. Steph is not the MVP. The numbers are phenomenal. He is the greatest shooter of his generation. I don't think he's the greatest shooter of all time. You want to go old school? You can give me Dale Ellis spotting up for three, and we can talk about other folks. I know Reggie Miller comes to mind, and I'm not denigrating Wardell in any way. Steph Curry is unbelievable, and the way he has been able to make the Warriors even relevant with no Klay Thompson again speaks to just how brilliant his talent is. But for a league that has become in many ways a bit marginalized for casual fans, NBA Twitter is lit. It's not writ, it's lit. And I'm too old to be following along. But I have a great time watching NBA TV. I'm too cheap to get the league pass. I'm going to save my money for McRib season. But if you're just riding along and getting all the instant reaction and all the memes, I get it. If you're under 30, you think I should be talking NBA when we get to NFL season. So maybe the play-in event can captivate a few more fans. But when you're talking about the ratings issue, let me just give you one frame of reference. Everything is down. NFL draft was down. I think a little bit of a unfair analysis because last year was through the roof because we were all stuck at home and just wanted anything that felt like sports. But when you hear the NBA has gotten too political, the NBA is complicit with genocide in China, I'm just giving you what you might hear out there. In my view, the issue for the NBA and the ratings challenge comes down to this. There are too many options across every media platform. Who doesn't have a podcast here in the audio world? I know Red is working on it right now. We'll send it over to bweb.com and I'll push it very hard to my 6,000 Twitter followers. The NBA doesn't have the same appeal that it did in 1998, not because LeBron James doesn't captivate us the same way that Michael Jordan did. It's because we have more content than we could consume if we quit our jobs and just watch TV and listen to audio all day long. So if the NBA can goose the ratings a little bit, even if it means that LeBron, AD, and the Lakers don't advance, advantage NBA. Now, if you want to get into conspiracy theories, if we're talking NBA and the great back and forth between Jim Rome and David Stern, when did you stop beating your wife? Remember that famous giveaway? And remember, that is a lawyer technique. That was a bit of a salacious moment on a Big Word Monday, but Stern was just being Counselor David Stern there. And you could talk about the frozen envelope, sending Patrick Ewing to New York City and Tim Donaghy and all of his doings. If you believe in conspiracies, there's no way the Lakers could lose, right? Because what does the NBA want in the finals? Lakers coming out of the West, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and a healthy James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets from the East. L.A. and the New York market, book it for the NBA. So we'll find out if perhaps there's more WWE theatrics in the NBA than you might imagine. 1-800-636-8686. This is the last call for phone calls because coming up in just over 20 minutes, we will expand the NBA conversation, give you the expertise of Steve Kohler from BasketballInsiders.com, a few more tweets, Ken and S.A., Webbs, I'm not surprised Tony La Russa did not know the extra inning rule. He doesn't even know the alphabets.
R-S-T-U-V-V-Z-T-U-V-X-Y-X-Z.
Okay. We don't have Donovan McNabb weighing in. Because when I have a cold, I take chloroform, right?
Chloroform.
Jerry Jones, I want to watch the build-up to the Canelo Alvarez fight. Where am I looking? What streaming platform would that be on?
DAZN.
Finally, Jim Benton, who has a great eye. Why are you drinking from a broken mug? Did Rick break all the office mugs handle again? Okay, Jim, thank you very much. And Jimmy, I want the side-by-side comparison. Since you had a bloated Weber during the lockdown, look, I'm not signing up to run a triathlon, but I'm doing my best. The reason, and I'll hold this up to camera, I have the broken mug, is that I had the distinction of being the first fill-in host for Jim in the simulcast era. I was given a mug. In my travels, I broke the mug. But this mug is special to me. And much as I have the microphone in this hand, you're going to have to rip the broken mug handle and the mug itself from my cold, dead left hand. Good eye, Jimmy. But yes, sentimental value there. Okay. far too much of my own self-aggrandization. I just made up a word. 1-800-636-8686. More of your tweets at BW Weber. Weber with two B's straight ahead. We'll get to the East in the NBA. Talking so much about the big three. If James Harden is ever going to be healthy in Brooklyn, are we sleeping on Giannis and the Bucks to win it all? That's coming up. I'm going to break the rest of the mug before the program's over. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber with you. In for Jim Rome, home stretch on a Monday. We got to keep this segment tight because coming up in 15 minutes, we wrap it up with Gusto. We'll take you around the NBA. Steve Kyler, BasketballInsiders.com. I may keep the Giannis observations on hold, and we'll get to it when we bring Stevie into the mix. 1-800-636-8686. More of your tweets coming up. BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. We have an ATP on the way. I got a hate email in front of me, so there's a lot of interactivity, but the show is airing on CBS Sports Network on television, CBS Sports Radio across all of the radio platforms these days. The key word that connects the mediums is sports. How about we take an actual sports phone call? I know it's a novel idea. RJ in Oxnard here in Southern California has been patient. Hey, RJ, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Dude, I appreciate you taking my call, man.
I'm here for you. Take advantage of it.
Awesome. Yeah, I just want to throw out my take there. I'm a Chicago Bear fan, and I hope Aaron Rodgers doesn't leave Green Bay because the Bears aren't done with him yet. They need some payback.
Oh, calling your shot. All right, RJ, thank you for being patient. At least he was of the mindset, I'm getting in and get out. I'll take that all day long. Should we just rack calls? Let's go, Rip. Speed Web.
Rack him.
Woo! Okay, well, I might be validating the view of this email. I'm going to read the whole thing, because why not? Lance writes, just turn on the show. Who is this substitute guy? He's terrible. Boring as hell. His take on the Suns is pathetic. AD finally has a good game. The guy is a China doll. He could break at any moment. Give the Suns some freaking credit, you stupid idiot.
Credit.
I mean, for real.
For real.
Another satisfied customer. Thank you, Garrett Ritt, who's now just throwing paper in my direction. This is wonderful, Garrett. You know I can't read in general because I'm too vain to get glasses, and now you have handed me a stack of things, but I need to make sure our sponsors are happy. Because it's time to answer your Ask the Pros question, where you, the clones, get to submit a question. That's CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We have some good contenders here. And we have now mug reaction. So I got to make sure that I do a better job of clock management here. I'm like Jim Morris Sr., and the Saints are going to miss the playoffs again. Another contemporary reference. All right. I have some good contenders here from great friends. Bella B again, Brenton PC, but I'm going Wells in the 360 because if you follow me on Twitter, it's BW Weber, Weber with two B's, and I mentioned in the Aaron Rodgers conversation the last hour, I am a game show aficionado. Would you ever want to host a game show? If so, which one? Thanks. The answer is yes. If I'm going to be completely transparent, beyond my ability to be an acceptable guest host, detestable guest host, according to my friend Lance, Sir Lancelot, I think I would be an excellent, cheesy game show host. The problem is game shows have been marginalized. Plus, back to my conversation about the top 1% in any profession doing whatever they want to. Does Michael Strahan need another job? Does Alec Baldwin need the money? I love Elizabeth Banks. Very talented. She need to be on Pressure Luck? Why did they do it? I'll steal from Jim. Why does anyone do anything? Because they can. Because it's free money. So when I think about my broadcast influences, and I told Bob Costas this, and I don't think he liked hearing it, When I was younger, I wanted to be Bob. I wanted to have the avuncular presence. Occasionally, I'll throw a big word your way. That leads me to be boring as hell, according to some people. The other side of the spectrum was, and I'm definitely on the spectrum today, Mean Gene Okerlund, the best stick man interviewer in the history of professional wrestling. And if I'm going to throw in another influence, I'm going to go with a guy like Jim Perry. So to answer your question, and I'm going second tier beyond the names you know as game show hosts, Trebek, Sajak, I'm going old school. When guys had an occupation, a calling to host game shows, Jim Perry, and the show I would host would be Sale of the Century, when you could actually buy items. I'll save it for my podcast. Spin the Wheel with B-Web. It's available on Audacity.com. But if I could jump in the Hot Tub Time Machine, I'm hosting an old school show with the great Summer Bartholomew, who was the Vanna White of that program. We have Reaction to the Mug. Headstrom Bacon. I have a broken mug as well. Sincerely, Mickey Rourke. All right. I have more. Here's a nice long one from JC in Frisco. I gave the show a shot for a segment. This is what I heard. Rit pressing buttons like a toddler with ADD. Well, that's Alvin today, so you're 0 for 1 in the fact-checking department, because I'm the ombudsperson of this program. Matt in L.A. doing his best to convince us he's on acid. Parody Larry reminding us how truly horrendous his calls are. Guest host guy does not have a chance. It's not my fault, clearly. War, me having no idea if this email is read because I prefer silence over circus. Whoa. We have Oscar Wilde in the jungle. That was a nice turn of phrase. JC and Frisco, because CJ in the Bay wants no association with this. Is Hunter S. Thompson still alive? That might be the most clever thing I've ever heard from a clone here. I'm going to steal this. My new Twitter bio is going to read, I prefer silence over circus, because that's the Weber paradox. I'm the loudest guy in the world, and I've said nothing for 2 hours and 32 minutes. As we get deep here, where's Proust when you need him? Nobody's read Proust, by the way. Anybody who says they've read Proust, I got your remembrances of things past right here. Coming up, we'll wrap it up with somebody who really knows everything about the NBA and beyond the numbers. Use the eyeball test. The Nets play no defense. Bottom of the third in the league in defensive efficiency. So why are they still favored to win it all? Looking forward to our latest NBA conversation with Steve Kuyler from BasketballInsiders.com. But first, it's time for a sports update. Rich Ackerman has all the particulars. CBS Sports. Brian Weber with you, in for Jim Rome. Conversation never stops on Twitter. That's BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Let's keep the dialogue going after the program, but we still have business to attend to. Let's finish the show with more NBA conversation. Always a pleasure to talk hoops with our pal Steve Kuyler from BasketballInsiders.com. Steve, we have not chatted since the holidays. How are you?
Brian, I'm well, man. How about you? You good?
I'm doing good, and I got to tell you, and I'm not just doing a bit on the radio because I think it's a good philosophy to say what you mean and mean what you say. I love this concept of the play-in tournament. Now, it can be dismissed as a gimmick, and LeBron thought it was a good idea last year in the bubble and now says whoever came up with the concept must be an idiot because the Lakers are still in jeopardy to play in the play-in tournament next week. Mark Cuban's called it an enormous mistake. How do you see it?
Well, the guys that now have to win their way in certainly don't love it when you had your ticket punched. It was awesome. No, I like it because, look, we've seen this for years. I think somebody did the math on this recently. This is the most competitive and meaningful end of an NBA season we've ever had. You know, when you think about the fact that, you know, Boston is two games away from Charlotte and, you know, Washington is a game away, three games away from Boston, there's intrigue here that not only will these, you know, final four-ish games most teams have remaining matter, then you're going to get into this playoff play-in series where, you know, you could see the upset. And right now, the way the Washington Wizards are playing, they could be the biggest wild card in the Eastern Conference if they can sneak in as the eighth seed. And then, you know, are they the team that can maybe challenge Philly because of just how potent they can be offensively? So I think it makes a lot of things interesting. You know, in the Western Conference, certainly I don't think Laker fans like seeing the Lakers where they are, but when you have injuries as dynamic and serious as the Lakers have had, you know, this is what happens in the West. You're going to fall back. So there's a lot there that I like, and I think these games, you know, especially for the week just prior to the playoffs, you're going to have fun, competitive, kind of like pre-playoff basketball that's going to have that energy and that intensity, but isn't going to take 2 months to get done.
Talking NBA with Steve Kuyler. Check out the website. It's outstandingbasketballinsiders.com. According to reports, LeBron comes back either tomorrow against the Knicks or Wednesday against the Rockets. We know how remarkable Anthony Davis was last night. Steve, do you have the perspective that if there's a switch somewhere at Staples Center, when LeBron is healthy, he can find it, flip it, and Lakers are going to be just fine?
Yeah, but I don't know that we're going to get to that first part, right? LeBron being healthy, high ankle sprains are tough. You know, everything you want to do as a basketball player comes off that foot. And if the foot is unstable, that's a lingering kind of thing. And as much as LeBron invests in his body and is as well-trained and conditioned as anybody, he's also an older player. So these injuries, lower extremity injuries on lower player or on older players tend to linger. So, you know, is this the thing that's going to make the Lakers have to hobble? Right? Are they going to have to go seven games? Or then more importantly, do they end up in the eighth seed and have to see a Utah Jazz team in Utah? You know, they're going to start on the road. So it's not like you're sitting in the one seed and you get the lesser team. You may be the lesser team that has to go against the best team right out of the gate. And you won't have those 2 weeks to kind of play yourself into a playable condition. You know, it's going to be make or break right out of the gate for the Lakers. And that's not a great position for them.
Steve, probably not the right day to be looking for the positives of what has been an outstanding regular season put together by the Suns based on what happened last night, although that to me speaks more to what Anthony Davis is capable of when healthy. But as you look at the body of work for the Suns this year, the tremendous turnaround, how much are you buying them in the playoffs? And let's say it's the Suns and Lakers matching up 2-7 round one of the postseason.
Yeah, I don't think I love that for the Phoenix Suns. I think I'd like almost any other matchup than that because, like you mentioned, there's not an answer on the Phoenix Suns roster for Anthony Davis, and I don't think there's an answer for LeBron James, even if he's 70 or 80%. So, you know, that one's probably the worst possible matchup for Phoenix. But when you rewind back and say body of work this season, incredible. The acquisition, James Jones going out and getting Chris Paul, the perfect veteran for that team that just needed to learn how to play winning basketball, and they've done it all. Devin Booker is a multi-time All-Star, one of the best scorers we have in the game, and the role change that DeAndre Ayton has undergone to become kind of this third guy in some situations, you normally don't see that in young players, especially not a young player that was the number one overall pick and very heralded. I think Monty Williams does a great job night in and night out keeping that team level. They don't get too high, too low. They can come back in close games. You know, they win more of the 50-50 things that gritty, tough teams do. And I think he was the right coach for a team that just really needed, they had some talent. They needed more direction. I think they got it. They needed more leadership. I think they got that too. And they are absolutely a team to beat in the West.
I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, chatting with Steve Kuyler from BasketballInsiders.com here on CBS Sports Radio. To amplify that, Chris Paul has had a outstanding season. If we're talking about the V in MVP, you can't in any way dissect the value he has added to the Suns. Where would you slot Chris Paul in the MVP conversation? And ultimately, who would you give the award to?
Well, I think it's Nikola Jokic's award to lose. I mean, he's been absolutely everything for the Denver Nuggets. And then you factor in what Joel Embiid has done for the Sixers. I think that's 1-2. But then when you're starting to get into the 3-4 discussion, I think that's where Chris Paul probably lands. Luka Doncic certainly could be there and just single-handedly carrying a Dallas franchise more nights than not. You know, that, so there's some contenders there in what I'll call the next wave. But to me, if it's Nikola Jokic, I'm happy with that award. I think justified. If it's Joel Embiid, I'm happy with that. It's justified. I think those are the front two guys.
Steve, let's jump over to the East. Brooklyn has a big three, but they've played, what, seven games together because of injuries. James Harden saying all the right things about being available this week, coming back from the hamstring issue prior to the playoffs. But history tells us if you play defensive basketball as lousy as Brooklyn has been playing, if you don't contest that many shots, you're not going to win a championship. Vegas still has them, though, the favorites to win it all. Where do you come down?
Well, I don't know that I have them as the favorites to win it all because I do like the Sixer team, and I think the Sixer team is actually playing now at their level. I think for a number of years they were the underachievers, right, especially when it got into the postseason. I still think Philly's got everything you want. They've got depth. They've got a variety of ways to hurt you. They've got shooting now. They're well coached. There's just a lot of things for Philly that put them at one. You know, with Brooklyn, you know, stars win in this league. They do. And when you've got, you mentioned three, Blake Griffin, they got more guys. And they've got shooting, and they're well coached. I've been shocked at how good Steve Nash has done in his first year, because normally there's bumps, right? But is that where Steve Nash's inexperience surfaces in the postseason? I think he's managed the egos and the injuries and, you know, all the things that have been coming Brooklyn's way, as well as I think anybody could have. But defensively, they're going to have to figure some things out, because the truth is you're not going to score 120 points a game in the postseason. The game slows down. And the question is can they continue to be super effective and unselfish when the pace of the game is a little bit slower? I think that's going to be the test Brooklyn has to overcome. If they can do it, well, they've got all the horses, so the horses should win the race.
Steve, since you alluded to Doc Rivers and what a terrific job he's doing in Philadelphia, how about his old team here in Southern California, putting aside the Clippers losing to the Knicks yesterday? You have the championship experience provided by Kawhi Leonard. I know about the playoff struggles of Paul George. However, feels like he can't play worse than he did in the bubble last year in the midst of that collapse. You throw in the addition of playoff Rondo. If you care about my pick, I have the Clippers coming out of the West. What's your overall view of the Clips?
They look better. They look better than they did. You know, last year it was chemistry problem. It showed the bubble. They just were not a unified group. You know, they bring in Ty Lue as the head coach. They figured some of the chemistry stuff out, and they look more cohesive. They still have the same problem, right? You know, Kawhi doesn't play every night. Paul George doesn't play every night. When you have to play every night together, are you going to be as cohesive? Kawhi's a difference maker in this league. He's an amazing difference maker. They can be very good defensively. I think a lot for the Clippers comes down to who do they have to go through. You know, when you kind of look at, you know, a 3-7 matchup or a 3-6 matchup with Portland, you know, that's going to be a tough one because Portland's a very good team. If that becomes something else, if it becomes the Lakers, maybe harder. If it becomes the Dallas Mavericks, could be easier. So I think the road forward is going to paint the picture for the Clippers, but they're in a much better position going into the postseason than they were last year.
Final thought on the Knicks, since I mentioned that nice win yesterday in Los Angeles. Let's spin it forward. Julius Randle having a stellar season. How do you think the Knicks are going to approach his contract situation?
Pay him. You better pay him.
Pay him all the guaranteed money, or do you hedge it all?
Well, you know, look, Julius Randle's still a very young player. I think you're always weary of guys that, you know, kind of pop in a contract year, right? But I think everything Julius is doing says pay him. And, you know, you have one choice. You can either pay him or you can spend that money on three guys that aren't even close to him, because you have to spend the money. And I think we've seen in the league, you know, Russell Westbrook's deal's been moved. Chris Paul's deal's gotten moved. Big, ugly contracts are not hard to move in the NBA when you want to get out of them. And when you find the star you didn't think was there, that's better than going out and thinking and wishing upon some future star you may not get. Remember, they traded Kristaps Porzingis thinking they were going to get, you know, Kyrie Irving and you know, Kevin Durant. Didn't get either one of them. You know, fortunately, Julius fits really well with Tom Thibodeau, and I think Tom's done a really good job getting guys like R.J. Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, getting those guys really playing hard basketball. I can't see why you break that up, because you got to spend the money anyway.
Steve, always a pleasure. I appreciate you taking the time. Sounds like you're less than 100% physically, so I appreciate you not going with load management and taking this show off.
Be anything for you, man.
Thank you, Steve. Be good. And poof. Just like that. Alvin, that's where I got just like
that. And it's
that.
Over just that quickly.
Kaiser Soze. And that's the twist you didn't see coming. Steve Kuyler is Kaiser Soze. In fact, that was so good, we're going to make it our huge call. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today and visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Do we have time for breaking news? Yes, we do. Timpani, please. Breaking news. According to reports, Tim Tebow will sign a one-year contract with your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Timothy Tebow.
Not earth-shattering, because we heard this story was percolating over the last week or two, but add one more element of intrigue to the Jags, and I know the calls are going to be coming. All right, if Trevor Lawrence struggles, do you put a package in for Tebow? He's going to be a tight end, as he should have been from day one, and we're not going through Tebow mania again. That was a moment in time. But the Jags now have the rock star head coach in Urban Meyer, if his health holds up. You have the face of the franchise in Trevor Lawrence. Tim Tebow making things a little bit juicier. Remember, the Khan family also owns AEW Professional Wrestling. Could it be Tebow and Chris Jericho in the steel cage? Whoever wins, we all lose. That was your dilemma today. We call it the Weber Paradox, as I go third person. Great job by the team, as always. Thanks to the XR4TI, Alvin and Garrett. My thanks to Jim Rome, Craig Kitchen, all the great people at CBS Sports Radio. Like you, I want to listen to CBS Sports Radio the rest of the day. Keep it where it is. I'm Brian Weber. I'll talk to you down the road.